Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:16 PM. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 28th. And it was a pretty positive day on stock markets, and generally speaking, they firmed throughout the day to finish on the high of the day. And it also came in tandem with a return to some dollar strength. The dollar is a little bit oversold in the short term, so there is ample potential for the dollar to firm in here as well. We can see on the NASDAQ chart that it had this downside key reversal last week, at the beginning of last week, and it has not really had any downside follow through. This has so far been a pretty shallow reaction, and so far that's all it is. It's a shallow reaction. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500, we can see that it had a somewhat larger reaction, but that nonetheless it has bounced, and that it is now above where it was trading for most of last week, after it pulled back rather sharply, its largest one-day fall in at least the last 6 months. So this is still a shallow reaction. When we look at that on the longer-term chart, then we're presented with what was an almost two-year-long range, and that followed a particularly impressive and very consistent advance all the way up from 2012 through to the end of 2014. And there were two downside surprises within that range. That conditions the market to expect that there's going to be these surprise flash crashes, these surprise drawdowns, and that we have had a distinct absence of those. In fact, the size of the consolidations since early November have been really quite shallow, and so far this has been pretty much in form with that. Nonetheless, there is an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, so it would be rather surprising, or it would be characteristic of an accelerating trend, if we were to see that the market is going to surge higher from here. That would make the overextension relative to the trend mean even wider, and it would enhance the potential for a reversion back toward it. I haven't quite posted my copy yet, but I've spent some time today thinking about the US 2-year, and I think it is appropriate to look at it over a 20-year basis, because what we're presented with is a base formation. We're presented with a base formation that there was a clearly identifiable progression of higher reaction lows within it all the way from 2014 onward. And yet, the yield is still only around 1.25%. And it's up 4 basis points since yesterday. But nonetheless, the Fed funds rate is 1%. And the 2-year yield is only 1.25%. That's despite the fact the Fed is telling us that they're going to raise rates twice this year. That's characteristic of disbelief. The bond market does not believe that the Fed will raise rates twice this year. It is something of a question of the boy who cried wolf. The Fed has said that it's going to raise rates and on a number of years in a row, and then did not follow through. And then when it did raise rates, it didn't raise them as much as it said it was going to. So in the eyes of the bond market, the Fed has lost credibility. But there is a broader question. There is, and this is the bigger theme, that what the bond market is priced for is perfection. It is priced to believe that the low interest rate environment is going to last forever. We have absolutely no guarantee of that at all. In fact, if we look at the chart, what we are presented with is a base formation which has been completed. The kind of debate that is going on right now is very characteristic of what you get in a first step above the base, because the bull case, or in this case the bear case, has not been fully proven. We are still in the period of time where the bulls have not endured a great deal of profit erosion. They have not been forced into any decisions. This is still an academic exercise where we have people debating both sides of the argument. But that is characteristic of disbelief, that the people who are saying this is the end, this is We are at the dawn of a new inflationary age, are not viewed as the mainstream. They're not the ones that are being called up and interviewed and asked for their opinion. Rather, what we are getting is people like Mohamed Elarian, Bill Gross. They're being asked for their opinions. They're the people that benefited most during the bull market. Therefore, they are the least likely to be the ones that benefit most from the bear. That is characteristic of every major bull and bear market. Now, these are important questions because we know what happens next. If we think back to, and veterans from the chart seminar will be very familiar with this, and there are psychological perception stages to every bull and bear market, and disbelief is the first one. But disbelief is followed by acceptance, and acceptance would be the birth of the in a normal bull market, it would be the buy and hold. But of course, a rise in yields is not a bull market, so it would be the birth of the sell the rallies trading system. And that would still be profitable despite the fact that you were trading against the contango. So we are at a very interesting period of time, because it has been an awfully long time since we've had a rising yield environment. The last time we've had a trending environment upwards was in the early 2000s, and that feels like a long time ago. So I think that this is a very important chart. This is something that I think more people need to be keeping an eye on, because it is so very clearly a bullish chart. And perhaps that is enough about bonds. If we look at the gold market, it is now trading above that $1,250 area. It is, and I think it is looking increasingly likely that we have seen a higher reaction low. That we have had a very sharp pullback, we've had a pretty impressive rebound. This is nothing more than a consolidation within the region of the trend mean. The price is back up towards the upper side of its range. If we zoom all the way into the daily chart, then the price was not able to hold the move to that $1,260 area today. In just the same way that gold has developed a short-term overbought condition and is in the region of a previous area of resistance, we can say almost the exact opposite for the dollar index. The dollar index had pulled all the way back to the lower side of a four-month range, and this is the first sign of some support coming in, and that some of those short positions that have been opened in the dollar are coming under pressure. The pound as well was down almost a full cent today. It had got all the way up towards 126 yesterday and is trading at 124.5 today. We are in the region of the upper side of the range. This is the week in which Article 50 of the Nice Treaty will be triggered. I think one would have to be pretty brave to be buying the pound, considering that it is still in what is now an almost 3-year downtrend, and that it has closed its overextension relative to the trend mean, and it's close to the upper side of its range. It was hanging out there for some selling, and now the big question is to the extent to which those lows above 120 will hold. This is still a reasonably consistent medium-term downtrend, and a sustained move above the trend mean is going to be required to break it. And I think that that is the perhaps the most and clearest question or answer we can have to any kind of question, that it is a consistent trend, and a consistent trend is a trend in motion. The yen also, oops, sorry, the yen also pulled back in here today. I was typing in the ticker like it was on Bloomberg. The yen has strengthened all the way down to 110, and now we're seeing at least some support for the dollar in this area. The yen had been stronger than the dollar, despite the fact that the the dollar had been pulling back, the yen had really been very firm against it, and now it is back in an area of resistance. It's in the region of the trend mean. If the yen is going to encounter resistance, it should be somewhere in this area. Now, if the yen is in an area of resistance, then the Nikkei is at the lower side of its range, and it has bounced, and it is continuing to hold this range. It is, and I think the big round numbers will perhaps not be lost on anybody, that it has been ranging below this 20,000 level for really much of the last 4 months. That has allowed much of the overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound, and it is looking really only to be a matter of time before it can sustain a move on the upside. The Australian market also made headlines today. It is pushing back up towards the upper side of its range, and this has been a pretty impressive rebound from its lows yesterday. I think the broader point, though, is that on the weekly chart, it is becoming more consistent. 2016 was a very choppy environment for the Australian market, and the fact that that the volatility has decreased and that it is now putting in a much clearer progression of higher reaction lows is very much in its favor. I think one of the more important charts is the ASX 300 Banks Index, because it had trended consistently lower for about 18 months, and it broke that downtrend really very emphatically back in October. And the banks, which also represent a significant weighting in the ASX 200, have really been outperforming here. And that is really quite important. The resources sector, which really did make the running last year, has been consolidating for most of this year so far. It is now back in the region of the trend mean. This is about where, if it's going to find support, it really should be doing it. And it's a pretty similar story for the FTSE 350 Mining Index. And despite the fact that they're in quite different currencies, that we can see that the FTSE 350 mining sector has also pulled back. It's been relatively similar sized to what we saw back in July and even at the beginning of 2016. It has not yet unwound all of the oversold condition. Excuse me, overbought condition. When we look at Europe, then the reaction that Europe had was really quite modest, and so far it is still really quite firm and moved to a new recovery high in here today. The simple fact is that Mario Draghi is going to do whatever it takes to ensure the sustainability of the Eurozone, and that means that the likelihood of the EU withdrawing its stimulus anytime soon is, I think, really quite remote. And the other, I think, important market to really keep an eye on right now is oil. And oil prices were not able to sustain their strength here, that they were pulling back even while the dollar was weak. And now the fact that the dollar has bounced, that is not particularly good news for oil either. There is the very clear reality that we are getting that, and I wrote about this yesterday, but there is the simple point is that we're waiting for technological innovation to be commercialized in the solar sector, and it is largely inevitable that that will happen eventually, but it has not yet fed through into the kinds of products that are being installed on people's homes. But the technological innovation that is driving the oil market is having real-time effects, and I think that is a point that is really very important. Oil prices right now are really barely steady around $50, and it really will require a clear upper dynamic to confirm more than temporary support in this area. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.